creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Turkey, stuffing, pies, these are just a few of the foods many of us look forward to on Thanksgiving. But what about those that choose to be vegetarian or vegan? Or maybe you have someone in your family that is gluten intolerant. What do you serve on Thanksgiving to accommodate friends and family with special dietary needs? On this episode of Culture Click, we have a special Thanksgiving Day episode. Hannah Yashesky, produce lead at the Bluff Country Co-op, shows us how we can have a delicious and satisfying Thanksgiving meal, all without meat, animal products, and gluten. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Hannah Yashesky on today's Culture Click.
So my name is Hannah, and I work in produce here, and I just really love cooking.
Is it difficult to prepare a traditional Thanksgiving meal with that's suitable for, you know, vegan or vegetarian or gluten-free?
No, not as difficult as you would probably think, because a lot of the traditional things like green bean casserole or mashed potatoes and gravy, you can just substitute out the milk, the dairy, the butter. You don't really need those things. So like with green bean casserole, do like cashew cream or almond milk. You can use those things for the creamy part. In mashed potatoes, there's vegan butter. There's almond milk again. And like the turkey, just use, you can go buy a vegan roast.
Okay.
Or make, like I made today, make a lentil loaf, make a vegan veggie meatloaf kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask about the turkey. I've heard of like an un-turkey. Is that the same as like a tofurkey? Or
Yeah, tofurkey is the brand name.
Okay.
So there's different brands. There's tofurkey brand, there's field roast brand, and then Gardein. They all make a little vegan Thanksgiving turkey thing.
Okay. Are they all made pretty much out of the same stuff, or are they, does it vary between brands?
I think they're made about the same.
About the same.
Tofurkey probably uses tofu.
Right.
But I think they also use wheat, and so for gluten-free people, this wouldn't be an option.
That's not a good option, sure.
They all use wheat gluten, I believe. So, yeah, I would make a lentil loaf or a chickpea loaf, something that's made with beans that's gluten-free.
Okay. Can you make your own that's like an un-turkey, or is that just making a substitute like a lentil loaf? Or
that's what I would do just for the healthier side, make it less processed.
Sure.
You can definitely make your own...
like tofu turkey? Or
yeah, you can make your own roast, I suppose, with vital wheat gluten. That's
okay.
What it is. It's made of vital wheat gluten to give it that like spongy, meaty texture.
Okay, sure.
And just fill it up with spices to give it the flavoring that you want.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, for people who are gluten-free, that would not be an option. And
right.
They would probably prefer a Whole Foods alternative anyway.
Sure. Okay. How, speaking of the texture, is it pretty close when you use a tofurkey or a substitute like that?
No.
No?
No, it's definitely different. It's not like meat. It has like a meaty flavor and kind of a meaty texture, but like being totally honest, comparing it to real turkey, it's just going to mimic the flavor more so.
Okay.
But if you're somebody who's been vegan or vegetarian for a while, it's a good option. I remember my first year being vegan, me and my boyfriend, we loved all of the vegan options. So it's been 3 years now, and I definitely prefer the more Whole Foods, homemade versions over the store-bought processed ones.
Right.
But they're really good options for a Thanksgiving meal. If you're really missing your stuffed turkey, then the options we have here are really good options for that.
Right. Okay. What about other things that we need to be aware of, like when preparing a Thanksgiving meal for vegans? You know, is there stuff that we might not think of, like, you know, in your baking and stuff of that nature? Or?
Definitely. So for vegans, they don't want, it's different from person to person, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line, I think like the rule is for every vegan is no dairy. So no milk, no creams, no like regular whipped cream. Those things are off limits. No eggs.
Right.
And no meat. So no meat, eggs, or dairy of any kind. That's totally off limits. No vegan wants that in their food.
Right.
That's definitely something to keep in mind, to substitute the eggs like we did today with a flaxseed egg. So mixing ground flaxseed with water, let it thicken up, that works. Using almond milk instead of dairy milk, using vegan butter instead of dairy butter.
Okay.
Trying to think of other substitutes. Some vegans don't like honey. So if there's any honey, you use maple syrup. There's a substitute for everything. So it is really easy. It's just about knowing like what it is that whoever you're cooking for doesn't want in their meal.
Right.
And you can always ask the person, whoever you're cooking for is going to know what they don't want and what to substitute it with. So that's a good tip. Just straight up ask them, like, what don't you eat? What would you like me to use?
Sure.
That's super easy.
I bet Google's probably a good resource for that as well, huh?
Yep. Oh, yeah. You can Google vegan whatever food it is that you want, and you're going to find a recipe for it.
Cool.
Whether it's, like, something you would never think you could make vegan or something you think is easy. Google has all the recipes. There's plenty of vegan cooks out there who spend their whole life just coming up with recipes. So
cool.
It's out there.
That's great. You know, going to the gluten-free thing, is it found in a lot of traditional Thanksgiving dishes, gluten? And how do you know? What's a good way to find out?
You know, off the top of my head, stuffing comes to mind because it's made with bread.
Sure, yeah.
And so that could make your turkey not gluten-free anymore if you're stuffing the turkey with it. I know a lot of people just have it on the side as a side dish. I know a lot of gravies can be made with flour.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't really know off the top of my head. Maybe green bean casserole, because it would probably be traditionally made with like cream and flour to make the cream.
Okay. You mentioned the stuffing and the turkey. Is there an issue when you're cooking, if you're cooking both gluten-free and stuff with gluten in it? Is there an issue with cross-contamination, you know? I mean, how do you deal with that?
So if, it depends. If somebody you are cooking for has celiac disease, they cannot have any cross-contamination. They can't have gluten whatsoever. It's going to provoke an immune response for them, which is, you know, could be an upset stomach, could be digestive issues, could be anything. There's a lot of symptoms, but
okay.
There's a lot of people who just eat gluten-free because they have a gluten sensitivity.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing. I mean, cross-contamination isn't as much of an issue, but it's going to cause an issue inside their body. And it might not provoke any symptoms right away. It could happen 2 days later where they have a bunch of acne. They broke out from it. Or 2 days later their digestion is all, like, whack and they don't know why, but it's from the gluten.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know whether they have the sensitivity or not, but if you're cooking for someone who knows they have the sensitivity, you'd want to, as much as possible, be aware of the cross-contamination. If it's celiac disease, don't cook gluten in that kitchen.
Okay.
Or have them cook their own food, kind of a thing. If it's really that big of an issue, they need to cook their own food, or have the family have a gluten-free kitchen as well, so that they don't have any problems with it.
Okay.
But otherwise, if it's just somebody who says, I'm just not eating gluten right now because I think I feel better without it, I think, like, if you have it in the same kitchen, it'll be okay.
Okay.
It's just celiac disease is the big issue. Yeah. Those people can't have any cross-contamination. It's really going to cause problems for them.
Right. So the biggest, probably the best way to avoid it is just to avoid it altogether, huh? Not cook gluten stuff in the same kitchen.
If it's celiac disease, then you don't want it in the kitchen.
Okay.
It's kind of like here at the co-op, we don't recommend anyone with celiac disease eat anything off our hot bar because we do cook gluten-free options, but it's not a gluten-free kitchen.
Okay.
So if you have celiac disease, it's not a good option here.
Okay,
but,
sure.
You know, anyone else just who wants to eat gluten-free in general, you're going to be okay
it's
cooked gluten-free. There's no gluten in the recipe, but we can't, you know, stop like flour particles from traveling through the air, stuff like that.
Right.
So.
Okay. Do gluten-free foods taste a lot different, or is it pretty comparable?
I think it has, I don't know, it comes down to whether it's a processed item or not.
Okay.
So if we're comparing gluten-free bread to wheat bread, to me, they taste different.
Sure.
And not in a great way. Like, I wouldn't say the gluten-free bread tastes bad. It just, to me, lacks a little bit of flavor and tastes a little sweeter. Almost for whatever, who knows what the ingredients are like that make it taste that way. But if you're going to eat gluten-free, whether you have celiac disease or not, I would just personally recommend eating as whole foods of a diet as possible.
Okay.
So yeah, the food might taste a little different. You can get plenty of gluten-free processed prepackaged stuff that probably tastes pretty comparable, pretty similar, but it's full of fillers and it's full of thickeners and processed things. So it's not the best for you.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's almost like eating anything else with gluten in it. That's just processed and prepackaged. That's not gonna do much for your body in health terms.
Right. So it's probably best just to stick to the whole foods options, and and that you'll probably get used to the taste, I'm sure, since it doesn't taste bad. It's just different.
Right. It doesn't taste bad, and the whole point is, you know, making sure it's got lots of seasoning in it. Make sure it's got like enough salt and pepper to make sure that it to you it tastes really good. So you want to keep eating it and make it again.
Right.
It's just it's just different because it's not bread.
Right.
You know, sort of like our stuffing, we use cauliflower and wild rice and mushrooms to make it like stuffing, you know, like have it chunky and everything, but it's not like a traditional stuffing because there's no bread, so it's not going to taste exactly the same. But, but I think it, more so people are just kind of looking for like a substitute, not looking for an exact substitute, because you're not going to find a vegan turkey that tastes and feels just like real turkey, but it's like having that on your plate, knowing like this is what I have at Thanksgiving. I want that comforting feeling and that nostalgic feeling of what I used to have. So you just make alternatives that fill that spot.
And then overeating is often a concern at Thanksgiving. Is it healthier just to avoid meat products altogether for that reason, or, you know, does it matter?
I'm going to say it's personal preference. I mean, eating meat in general, I wouldn't say is totally unhealthy. It's not going to kill you, obviously.
Right.
But we do know now that certain meats, like red meats, have been classified as carcinogens, so they can cause cancer. So I would avoid red meat for sure. If you're going to have some turkey, I would limit the amount that you're eating. Like one serving size per day of meat is about the size of the palm of your hand. So it's very easy to overeat on animal products, I think, in general. Just like we talked about before, the high fat content, it's very addicting to our taste buds and our brain. And because it's not full of fiber and full of vitamins and minerals, your stomach isn't going to send those hunger cues up to your brain that says, I'm full. You're just going to be able to continue eating it. And that's super easy to do on Thanksgiving. I can think of all the previous years of being so overly excited for Thanksgiving food because how highly palatable all the food is and how salty it is. It's very fatty. It's very good.
Right.
And I remember just filling up my plate, going in for seconds, going in for thirds, and then hitting the dessert table and then totally ready to just crash and do nothing the rest of the day.
Right.
So when you're replacing those super high fat animal products and replacing them with nutrient-dense, lower-fat foods. It doesn't have to be totally fat-free, but just lower in fat, you're going to eat as much as you're comfortable eating, which you'll find is a lot more. It's probably even equivalent to what you would want to eat of the higher-fat foods. But it's going to be nutrient-dense. It's going to be low in fat. It's going to be easy to digest. It's going to give you energy. It's going to make you feel really good. And that's kind of what I would recommend is, you know, if you're going to overeat on something, you know, I put quotes like overeat, like you shouldn't ever
overeat past
to the point of discomfort or pain, but it's easier to do that when you're eating foods that taste so good to you that you don't even care if you know you're full.
Right.
But if you're eating food that just tastes really good and fills you up comfortably, you're going to get those cues to your brain saying like you're full, and you're going to be able to stop eating when you're full.
Right.
And you'll be satisfied with just one or two pieces of pie.
Okay, okay. So you mentioned that whole foods are more filling. Is that a fiber thing, or?
I think it's a mix between fiber. I think fiber has a lot to do with it, because fiber does keep you full. It keeps your digestion moving as well.
Right.
But it's also a mixture between the fiber, just the fact that they have more minerals, nutrients. That's what your body's craving. So when you feel hungry after eating, it's probably because you didn't have a nutrient-dense meal.
Okay.
And that's kind of where Thanksgiving comes and Christmas. Like, this lack of nutrients, it's just a lot of highly palatable foods.
Right.
So, yeah, whole foods definitely keep you fuller for longer and quicker. Also, I was going to say, because if you add in, like, a whole food source of fat, like avocado or nuts and seeds, those are going to keep you full and satiated, as well as protein. So the protein could be from, same like the nuts and seeds have protein, lentils, beans have protein.
Right.
Tofu, if you use tofu.
Okay.
So you can get, that all contributes to keeping you full and satisfied.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds like a good option then. What are your personal favorite dishes that you can substitute on Thanksgiving?
Well, this year, my plan was that definitely these two recipes, the stuffing and this lentil loaf. I'm also going to make just like regular mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
Something new, one of my new favorite recipes is this butternut squash mac and cheese.
Ooh.
It's from the How Not to Die cookbook. It's really good. It's just butternut squash, and then you, for the like the cheese sauce, is you saute the squash with some onion, blend it up with some spices, and put it over noodles. And
wow.
I prefer to cook it with like some kale and broccoli and,
okay.
and peas. I
yeah.
like to put a lot of green veggies in my mac and cheese, and then you can optional put some breadcrumbs on top and bake it in the oven.
Okay.
And that is really good. So I want to share that with my family because just my boyfriend and I have had that, and
uh-huh.
we've had it like 5 times since trying it. So I know it's a really good recipe. I'm going to share it with my family this year.
Cool.
Previous years they've made like tater tot hot dish or
okay.
Shepherd's pie for
nice.
Us. I've made green bean casseroles before. So any, pretty much any traditional Thanksgiving recipe is very veganized. You know, you can
right.
make it, you
okay.
can make it vegan, you can make it gluten-free, or you can make something non-traditional like a mac and cheese.
Right.
Something like
that. Oh,
that
sounds good. I like the mac and cheese idea.
Mm-hmm.
what advice would you give for people who want to stay sensitive to other dietary needs during Thanksgiving? What's the biggest thing to remember?
I would be very much so in a good communication with the person you're cooking for.
Okay.
Because you don't want to think you know what they can and can't eat, and then make something and then bring it to them, have them eat it, and then realize you messed something up.
Oh.
I'm sure like everyone would be understanding, but it's not a good feeling to think somebody made a vegan meal for you, they told you they made it vegan, then you find out and they say, oh, well, I didn't know you couldn't have eggs.
Oh.
And then you just ate something that you don't morally agree with. That's kind of the thing. It's like,
yeah.
no, it's not going to hurt anybody if they have some eggs in their meal or if a little bit of milk got in there or something. It's not really going to hurt anybody. It's more so the reason why people go vegan.
Right.
You know, because they don't want to harm animals. They don't want to support mm-hmm. the industry. That's the thing. So once they eat it, they kind of feel like they in some way kind of supported it, or they just don't feel good about it. So
right.
that's one thing. It's just like the mental aspect of it, like communicate with that person, make sure you're like, okay, so write it down, even like, you know, like no eggs, no milk, no butter.
Sure.
Maybe usually no meat is an easy one, but the other
right.
things are not, the small ingredients people cook with is easy to forget about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would
yeah.
have good communication with them. Ask the person, like, do you have a recipe you want me to make? Can you find me a recipe?
Okay.
That's what I like to do with my family is send them the recipe, and they ask me now for recipes, but at first it was more my responsibility to tell them, like, hey, can you make this green bean casserole for me? I'll send you the recipe, and then they'll give me feedback whether or not they want to. You know,
okay.
if I say, like, oh, maybe that's too difficult of a recipe, will you send me something else? And communication is key. Definitely make sure that you're on the same page of what you do want to eat, what you don't want to eat, and what's easiest and most convenient for
right.
your family to make for you, because some vegan recipes can be a little more complicated because you're making most things from scratch.
Right.
You're not just going to the store and getting like a bottle of like heavy whipping cream, like you're making it from scratch.
Right.
So yeah, there's really easy ones, like the ones we made today are they're totally whole foods, very easy to make.
Right.
You didn't have to prepare any cream or anything.
Okay.
So different ones are easier, but
so communication, communication, and communication, huh?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I think that is the easiest way to go about it, because then you don't screw anything up. You don't have to have any anxiety about, is this good enough for the person? You know, mm-hmm. did I miss anything? Did I add something I shouldn't have? Then everyone's happy, and no one gets fed something they didn't want to eat.
Right. Okay. Does the co-op have any of these recipes on their website, or...?
Not that I know of,
not
but
okay.
I'm sure I could talk to Melissa and get some of them on there.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, having some of these vegan, gluten-free recipes available to people. But like I said, you know, you can just Google it too.
Right.
Any idea that pops in your head, you want vegan anything.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I tried some of the stuff. Tried the
lentil loaf.
The lentil loaf and.
Cauliflower wild rice stuffing.
Oh, the cauliflower wild rice stuffing. That was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious stuff. So if you want to go vegan or vegetarian, if you have anyone in your family who's gluten-free, these are good recipes. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm here with Hannah Yashesky, and she's the produce lead at the Bluff Country Co-op here in Winona. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Hannah Yashesky for joining us today on Culture Click. More information on Bluff Country Co-op and programs they offer can be found online at bluff.coop. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to Hannah Yashesky on Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.